Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
I wouldn't be out there telling James Bird Simon if you were to get a gun to kill him. That don't make it right. That don't make it right. I understand anger. I understand emotions.
Would you have been telling John Brown, violence is not the way? Don't do that, Brother John. Violence is not the way.
I don't like the way you ask me questions. I come on this show friendly. You act like you laying behind the bushes. There's way you ask human beings questions, man. I didn't come in here to be dodging your damn bullets. How do you feel about John Brown? And that, would you ask that? So I'm through with it. And y'all, please don't call me no more. I do not want to work this show. No more. That's the way I feel about what I've been. And now I know why them damn telephones was working wrong. Good night. And when I say God bless you, I don't say this viciously or viciously. But any time that I would come back to be tolerant, I respect you. I thought you had your homework done. I go all over the world. And I talk to people that I don't agree with, but my respect, I'm not trying to ambush them. I've been sitting on that. I didn't come on this show to defend me. I've come on this show to explain to the world why that I would sit there and fast and pray that a person, y'all ain't heard none of that. All you hear is a Negro defending some white folks. Well, hey. At one time, I was like that. I said early, and it's easy to figure out, I don't believe in killing. I said I never knew I would see the day that I'd rather be killed by someone than kill someone. And then all at once, I get these hostile questions. I expect them out of people that call in. Okay, that's the audience. I came on to do your show because of your reputation. I haven't heard that tonight. But I heard something with the phones messing up. And I said, uh-oh, something ain't right about this. And so, again, I'm saying to you, I thank you for putting my voice out there, because there are some people out there that need to hear what I have to say. There's some people out there that need to hear what you have to say. I do not want to do this show no more. Thank you.
Context of white supremacy. 7 years. 7 years, man. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Sunday, February 21st, 2016. So I have been told the audio segment at the beginning of the program. Oh, some of our folks, the audio segment at the beginning of the program, that was Mr. Dick Gregory, victim of white supremacy. His second visit on the broadcast, that was back in the summer of 2011, June 2011. And just for full context, we were discussing the case of James Byrd. I don't know if people remember, this is the black male in Jasper, Texas, who was tied to the back of a truck, dragged to death. They tossed his body in a cemetery that used to be a what they call quote-unquote segregated cemetery, and two of the three white males in that case were executed back in 2011. It was about 2 months when we did that program, June 2011. It's about 2 months from when one of the white males was executed who participated in murdering James Byrd Jr. Anyway, we had Mr. Dick Gregory on. He had been out protesting. It was a small group of people who said, you know, that these white brutes, they shouldn't get the death penalty, you know, give them life in prison or what have you. And he, during the course of the program, explained why he took that stance. I think that was about the 90-minute mark of the program that we had been talking about that. And during that broadcast and earlier, he had been singing literally, this is no metaphor, literally singing the praises of John Brown. And it was even more ironic because in our book club, we just went over John Brown and talking about his terrorist activities in Kansas and then his ultimate failed coup at Harper's Ferry in Virginia slightly before the Civil War. But I raised the question. It seems to me, it seems like a glaring contradiction if you're praising John Brown, who was a killer, but you're saying that you're a pacifist, you believe in nonviolence. And he, you have to listen to the program, hear his response before it got to that point. But that is the cow's 7 years of that sort of, that's the way I feel about it. Like, it's been 7 years of laborsome effort in just trying to discuss this matter and hopefully get people to use logic. Mr. Dick Gregory is a victim of racism. He shared his views, but that definitely, man, oh man, one of the moments through the 7 years. One thing I can say, though, about that moment, because it had been a while since I went back to listen to all of that, we would not do any more 3-minute exits for anybody. If you say that you're leaving the program, then peace out. We don't need, you know, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, an hour of, you know, people talking and continuing to talk if they say that they're leaving. That is one change it would have to be. If that means somebody gets hung up on or whatever the case may be, that's what it means. If it's a racist, then I might allow them to stay on if they're going to be tacky or trashy or whatever the case may be. But that is one change that would definitely be made. If once you say you're leaving, peace. We're not doing the 3-minute exit anymore for people who say that, you know, they're disgusted and they're leaving the program. Anywho, this is our Global Sunday Talk on Racism. Looking forward to hearing from our international listening audience. Certainly, folks who are in the States certainly can call in to participate as well, but we really want to try to encourage people on this broadcast, particularly people that are outside the States, to dial in. I think it's extremely important to be able to recognize racism, white supremacy as a global problem and just share ideas. Look at patterns, the way that this system operates globally, how racist they use a lot of the same tactics, regardless of where you happen to be on the planet. So really looking forward to hearing the exchange of views, adding one of our callers to the line right now, I believe. I think Mr. Fox is already with us. Mr. Fox, are you there, sir?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Crystal clear. Great to hear from you. Mr. Fox, one of our investors, he's been devoting a lot of time to posting some of our content on YouTube. I don't know if Mr. Dick Gregory is going to be posted, but that definitely is a memorable moment on the...
I will do, because I do remember that episode, and I do remember him singing, so I'm going to have to dig that up and upload it.
Right on. As I said, that was not a metaphor. He literally did sing the praises of John Brown, but he has VGQ as well, so right on. Anywho, proceeding, I'll give out the number really quick if folks in the States would like to chime in. That number is 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you would like to participate. With that, make sure I get out my reminders. Well, we should be here tomorrow. It'll be 1 hour later, thank heavens, because I am not a morning person. But we should be here tomorrow. The author Jim Walvin I think I said Waveland yesterday, but it's Walvin, white man. He wrote the book The Zong. This is a white slave ship from the 18th century. It was actually footnoted in The Half Has Never Been Told, where they killed approximately half of the black people that they had on board. They used the excuse that they ran out of water. And the reason that this became really publicized is because the whites who owned this slave ship, they sought to get insurance money for having to kill these black people. And that, you know, they had to go to court. The insurers didn't want to pay. So this goes to court and becomes public. More people know about this. But fascinating case. Looking forward to hearing this white guy come on the program, Mr. Jim Walvin. I'm just curious. I'm going to ask one of our other people that should be joining us from the UK if they know the name Granville Sharp. Do you know the name Granville Sharp, Mr. Fox?
No, it's the first time you're hearing of the name.
Okay. I was just checking in that I thought he might have been like the counterpart to John Brown in some respects. This white guy's like the ally to black people in the story. Like, he's going around and telling people, you know, this is an outrage, and you know, these guys should be prosecuted for murder, and how dare they get away with this. He's viewed as the abolitionist of the 18th century, who worked really hard to pushing Britain to discontinue the slave trade eventually, with his efforts in the late 18th century going over into the 19th century. But he's, you know, widely regarded. This guy's a hero and way ahead of everybody else, and saying slavery is horrible and wretched and we need to get rid of it. Granville Sharp, I thought he might be kind of lionized the same way that John Brown and Harriet Beecher Stowe are here in the United States.
No, we got I think it might be William Wilberforce. I think that might be the correct name. He's mostly the John Brown equivalent in the United Kingdom.
I see. Right on, right on. I'm still trying to nab Mr. Andrew. He's been with us quite a few times. He should be down to participate today, as well as one of our listeners in Norway. I'm watching out to see if I can nab them on my Skype line. I'll be dialing Andrew again as well. I guess before I get to that, is there anything that you had taken note of, anything significant that you think folks should be paying attention to, keeping in mind of as we proceed, Mr. Fox?
Sorry, I was on mute there.
All right.
What has caught my eye has basically been the Zika virus, which I know we're going to discuss today. And what I've seen in your part of the world was the celebration on the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
Super Bowl celebration, and the big kerfuffle and the outrage of white people in your area of the world. So that has caught my attention.
All right, on the, I guess with the Super Bowl issue, because I know that has, people are still talking about it, and it's been almost a month since that happened. What has stood out in the continued outrage? They're still having protests. They had that this week about whites allowing Beyonce to do her halftime performance, and what they said was anti-police and all of that. Anything stood out with all of that?
This far, whites are always on their guard. So if they see that a black celebrity who has the influence and is on center stage to actually promote a message, if this black person looks like they might do this, then all antennas and alarm bells go off. So this is like big outrage. White people know the score. They know what they're doing. So if you have a big celebrity is willing to make a statement, at least, then all antennas are going to be up. So all this outrage I see from Fox News and other media outlets, it's just no surprise. And it just, I've been laughing about it, but, you know, white people are always on the grind.
And I think white people, I think it plays into the system of white supremacy anytime where they can portray themselves as being victims of some sort of black abuse. they really amp that up. And I know M1 talks about this all the time with police killings. They did all of this, you know, hand-wringing and crying and, oh, this is terrible about Beyonce, and this is anti-police, and it's disrespecting, you know, peace officers who go out and put their life on the line. They do all that over Beyonce, and they're still doing it. They still had people protesting and what have you this week, and it's been weeks since the Super Bowl. A white police officer was killed by a white man in Mississippi yesterday, and it was none of that. Nobody was jumping up and down and fussing at them. And this white guy, before he killed an enforcement official, he had taken his wife, white wife, and white child hostage. That was what led to this whole bloody confrontation in Mississippi. But there was none of that. And M1 points that out all the time, that most of the cop killers in this area of the world are white people. But when white people go out and kill cops, they don't do any of that. There has been way more protest and outrage over Beyonce than this white man. And in fact, I would even submit that they might even try to blame this on Beyonce. And see, this was her fault, that this white man was probably, you know, listening to Formation and influenced by her crazy Negro music. And that led him to kill this enforcement official, just pointing out the hypocrisy in their behavior, racist hypocrisy in their behavior.
I would not put it past them. When this came out, they had to force the narrative that the Black Panthers were a terrorist organization. They kept on harping on about that and how negative the Black Panthers were and how anti-police the Black Panthers were. So they always have to push that. So if that doesn't succeed, then that option which you just displayed, they would actually get that out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to nab our Canadian caller as well. Since you did mention the Black Panthers, I think that's totally accurate, because they talked about that, this being an homage to the Black Panther Party and the 50-year anniversary of their founding. A lot of people, I don't know if it got that much attention in the UK. I think it is playing on the BBC, though, this weekend. I think I did see that where BBC4, I think they are going to be playing Stanley Nelson's documentary, the Black Panther Party, Vanguard of the Revolution. I think this weekend, I think it's going to air in your part of the world. It aired, the film came out last year. It's not new. It came out last year. It had a debut on PBS a few days ago, and I heard people talking about the film. I saw it. I posted it online so that people could check it out. And I did hear people saying that this was the first feature-length documentary on the Panthers. That is not accurate. All Power to the People came out about 20 years ago, and I think it is phenomenal. I've seen both of the films, and I would submit that All Power to the People is a better documentary about the Black Panthers.
Okay. There was two, PBS, when they actually do these documentaries and they have them on their website, due to where I am in my part of the world, I'm unable to see this, but I managed this weekend to download the Black Panther documentary and the remember the Lacey Swartz one, the Little White Lie?
Oh right.
Yeah, I managed to download that, and I just finished watching the Little White Lie just about 5 minutes ago, so I'm gonna go on to the Black Panther one straight after that.
Oh, right on. I'm definitely not telling anybody not to check it. I watched it. I watched it twice. But that this is not the only documentary that's been done on the Panthers. In my view, All Power to the People is much better. There are people that are in that film, important people that are in that film, that are totally omitted from Stanley Nelson, who is black male, directed and produced Black Panthers, Vanguard of the Revolution, but people like Mumia Abu-Jamal and Geronimo Pratt are totally omitted in this newer film. They are in All Power to the People, as well as some other very important figures, Mutulu Shakur, where they're included. You get to hear from them directly. They have interviews, and they give just, in my view, a lot more in-depth analysis of the level of terror, that strategic, methodical terror that was meted out to these black people over, you know, decades. Our caller in Canada, you should be with us. Are you there, sir?
Yes. Oh, I was supposed to. Oh, sorry, I have a cold. Yeah, Gus, you're going to have to mute for me. My mute. Wait, hello?
We can hear you, sir.
Hello? Okay, yeah, you're going to have to mute for me because, yeah, my mute button isn't working again. Okay, I just thought, you know. The thing I want to say about the Black Panthers, it did show up at the Toronto Black Film Festival about 2 weeks ago. I was unable to go. So I think it was February 11th, February 12th. And I think your criticism of the film, I haven't seen it, but it's very similar, your comment about it lacking depth is very similar to what Elaine Brown was saying sometime in July. She wrote an article where she severely critiques Stanley Nelson as catering to like white comfort, basically, and blacks who want to assimilate. That was her main argument. And she goes in detail. I'll probably post the article. I'll find the article and post it on the Cows page.
Right on. I read that this week. I was a little bit surprised, I guess. I guess the film being on PBS gave a lot broader audience access to the film. I think a lot of people didn't see it, but I remember this film got a lot of attention last year at Sundance. If people remember this year, the biopic on Nat Turner, and it got a lot of attention, and they were talking about it selling to Fox Searchlight for $17 million, and people were talking about it a lot. Stanley Nelson's film was being talked about that way last year when it was at Sundance. It was like the big film, and white people were just raving about it and all that. But I saw that article that Elaine Brown wrote. She's a black female. She was also in the Black Panther Party. I agreed with some of the points that she raised in the film. I think when I posted it, I said I think perhaps for people that if they're not informed about the Panthers, this might be a way to start. To get some information and to motivate them to dig and research more, which is what I would encourage. That's what I did. I didn't just stop with All Power to the People when I first saw that, to go out and do more reading so that you know who Geronimo Pratt is, so that you know who Mumia Abu-Jabal is. We read about Assata Shakur so that you know who she is, just so that you get more information about who these folks are. John Huggins, Bunchy Carter, what happened to them at UCLA. I think that's totally omitted from Stanley Nelson's documentary. Just there are a lot of George Jackson. He was also omitted. A lot of very important people. I don't even think Afeni Shakur is in Stanley Nelson's film. It's a lot of, I mean, it's a massive party. So, I mean, you could be talking about them for days and days and days, but do more research regardless of what your analysis is of the film. Do more research, read some of the material, and a lot of these people wrote books. You can read their books and get a lot of information as well, but hopefully, regardless of your thoughts on the film, do more research. Read. Reading is more important than watching television. With that, I was definitely going to pivot to get thoughts on the Zika virus. I guess our caller in Toronto, did you have anything else you wanted to touch on before we transition to the Zika virus?
The only thing I want to say is that I've noticed, I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but I'm noticing a lot of people, a lot of whites, mentioning the White Panthers, which I found very derailing this month. Like, I saw it all over my Facebook. Like, people saying, you know, the White Panthers were advised, and I'm thinking it's Black History Month. Why are we talking about what white people do? And whenever they're citing the Black Panthers, a lot of when I see whites, and even some black people, citing them, they show Black Panthers who had more integrationist sort of views, like Fred Hampton saying, you know, this about, you know, the black capitalists and the white capitalists, but they're not going to talk about, you know, Kwame Ture, who was against integration. That's something else I just noticed. I don't know if anyone else saw that.
I have seen other illustrations of that. And I mean, some of the people that were in the Black Panther Party, as you said, they had white people that they seemed to think were allies, that were not racist or were, I guess, working to not be racist, whatever the classification was. I definitely think you'll see that if you dig and do some research on the Panthers. There were white people, even some very famous white people, Jane Fonda and Marlon Brando. He's been in The Godfather. Who donated, who invested in the Black Panther Party and what have you. So I definitely see efforts to kind of to play that up, to make it seem like that they didn't hate white people and they were willing to work with white people, and taking more of the class analysis, that this is a class problem. Oh. They're poor white people who are also being mistreated. And again, there were many black people of that time, just like now, who did take that position. So, but I mean, just if you do more digging, because I think also Fred Hampton laid down, I think, one of the best critiques that I have seen of the whites, the young whites who were in the Weathermen. The Weather Underground, this was the group that kind of broke off from Students for Democratic Society. These were just more the I guess the white anti-racist of that time, before that term was being used, who said that, yeah, we're against the system, down with the establishment, they're against the Vietnam War, and say they're against racism and all this other nonsense. He has just a devastating critique of these individuals in Chicago, just talking about how they are muddleheads, they're not serious, this is just total buffoonery that they're engaged in. This is like weeks before he was assassinated, Fred Hampton, the late, the great Fred Hampton. But yeah, you will hear a lot of that analysis. If anything, I would just chalk it up the same thing we say all the time. If you don't understand racism, what it is, how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you, and that many of us just do not understand what it means to be white. And that's one thing that gets said in both documentaries, All Power to the People and in Stanley Nelson's Project, where you hear Black Panthers, the ones that are still alive and not in jail, saying repeatedly, we did not understand, we did not understand the depths of the opposition, what we were against in terms of racism, white supremacy. We just didn't have a deep enough understanding of what we were going against and what they were going to do to us. And I think that remains to be the case today. Folks are satisfied on that. Definitely the Zika virus. That's something that I've been paying attention to. I think lots of our listeners have been paying attention to that over the last month or so, probably more than that. You are in the UK. Even some of the clips that we've played have been BBC segments where they've been talking about the Zika virus and how that's impacting pregnancies and leading up to the Olympics in Brazil. I guess, Mr. Fox, what have you seen? What are your thoughts on how that's been reported so far?
Well, first looking at this, I remember waking up and just seeing it on the news. And obviously, the usual suspects, and I was just thinking population control. Because majority of the people who were infected by this seem to be the poor in Brazil. So that's basically your blacks and, as they were called over there, the mulattoes. So the upper class who seem to be the white people, they can actually afford the precautions, like the medication to try and stop this. So me looking at this from, you know, from a glimpse, it's just like, well, is this another form of population control for Brazil?
Have there been, I guess, any reports in the UK about outbreaks or anybody being reported to have this quote-unquote Zika virus anywhere in the UK?
Not what I've seen. I've apart from Brazil, I think Honduras might have had a case, but regarding Zika virus over here, no.
I know, I think they had a few reports where they were alleging that, you know, there might have been a case, one or two here stateside. Have they been kind of playing up the sexual aspect that this can be transmitted sexually now, not just the whole mosquitoes thing?
When I first heard about it, it was a mix of the two. So it was either those. So, get your mosquito repellent, or I can't remember the other way that they said to try and combat it. But the sexual aspect of it was basically if you were infected and you were male or female, you will pass it on through that. But that is the two ways how I know that you can get it.
Wow. Yeah, that. I think some of the callers who've been participating, where we talked about this on the compensatory call-in, they've been saying that they think this is going to be like the new AIDS virus, to where with the Olympics coming up in a matter of months, it's going to be in Brazil. You have a gargantuan population of super melanated black people in Brazil. That's just going to be played up even more aggressively as we get closer and closer to August, I guess, when all that goes down. And, oh, man, all these, you know, dark folks down here and they've got Zika. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? And just really getting people whipped up into a frenzy. There was an article in The Guardian within the last 30 days. I think I linked it in the description, where they were talking about would it be acceptable to get rid of all the mosquitoes, right? to concoct something scientifically where they're genetically modifying mosquitoes so that they don't live long enough to reproduce? And would this be ethically acceptable? Would this be the correct thing to do to see if they can just wipe, totally exterminate the global population of mosquitoes so that we don't have any more of these type of outbreaks? have you all been hearing any of these reports or seeing any of these reports?
No. Is it correct that the mosquitoes with the virus escaped from a lab, or they were the incorrect mosquitoes that were released into the atmosphere? I'm not too sure. Is that correct? Am I wrong there?
I've seen different reporting about where this came from. Some people saying, well, did this come from pesticides? Did this come from genetically modified mosquitoes? I've seen a lot of different report. Did this escape from a lab? I've seen a lot of different things where people are giving their theories about where this came from and what to do about it. Oh, there's one of our other calls. We'll get their input as well. Let's see. Our caller in Norway, are you with us? Can you hear, sir?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, crystal clear, crystal clear. Good to hear from you, sir.
Fantastic.
Outstanding. How do you want to be referenced for the program?
Silent Warrior is good.
Silent Warrior. Outstanding. We've been discussing the Zika virus and how that is being reported, how it's being talked about, impact as we get closer to the Olympics. Since it's a tremendous population of black people in Brazil, they're going to be hosting the games this this summer. Mr. Fox, he's in the UK. He just asked about, I guess, what's being reported on where this came from in terms of if this is something that escaped from a lab. And I was saying I've seen a lot of different theories where they're saying that. Is this the result of genetically modified mosquitoes, or, you know, different theories as to where this came from? Have you seen any of this? Do you have any thoughts on the way that the Zika virus is being reported?
I did some reading recently about the genetically modified mosquitoes. Yeah. So, but no, I don't have any additional information to share at this point.
Okay. Our caller in Canada, I guess she should be with us as well. Have you seen any of that with regards to, did this escape from a lab, or theories on where this came from?
No, this is the first time I'm hearing about this. So I'm just listening.
Oh, right on, right on. Yeah, that report, it was in The Guardian, where it's written by Eva Wiseman. She looks like a white woman. I could be an Arab, but the report is titled Sting in the Tail, The Threat of the Zika Virus. And she goes on to talk about exterminating the entire mosquito population. And if you check out the article, it's too long to read the whole thing. This is the final paragraph. I'll just read a little bit of it so you can kind of get the gist. It says, it must be done. Kill them. Kill the beasts. Swat them. Spray them. Smack them on the white wall of your kitchens with a curdled cry. Modify whole generations of them so that only males are born. Let them buzz impotent above developing nations, unable to infect again, unable to reproduce again. I'll stop there, but that's basically the tone of the whole report. And yes, they're talking about mosquitoes. They have pictures of mosquitoes up for the article. But for me, just reading it, it sounded like they easily could be talking about something other than mosquitoes, particularly this coming from a white person. Maybe I'm talking crazy, but you should
go ahead. I agree, sir, if you don't mind. I agree. What's the procedure if I want to say something?
Talk.
Okay. I'm looking at the article right now, and cross theory. I can get a call bell real quick because, like she says, have them impotent over developing nations. But that second half of the paragraph, when she talks about herself disappearing in the process, I mean, that's straight up cross theory. White Genetic Annihilation 101 happening at a subconscious level in their speech.
Bless Dr. Welsing. Amen. Absolutely. That exactly. Folks have to check out the, again, I linked it in the description. I can post it on Facebook too if people haven't seen it, but in my opinion, it definitely, and again, I think this is going to increase as we get closer to the Olympics. I can see how people, they kind of get tired hearing about this. First it was Ebola, and they just go from one, you know, these reported health outbreak things, crises, to the next. But I suspect as it gets closer to time for the Olympics, and you're going to have a mass influx of people from all over the world converging on this part of the planet, it's going to intensify.
Okay. I have something to add that's really weirdly connected to the way you contextualize that passage. Wait, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so there was an incident in Canada. There's blackface in the French province of Canada. We have a French province, Quebec, for those who might not know. And there's a very serious issue with blackface there, a long historic issue. And Michelle DeCoste, who you got on the show, is actively, always constantly bringing up how this is a problem. And one person in Quebec, I guess he's a theater person or some sort of TV person or entertainment personality, had to hire a black actor. And he was upset because he'd rather have a white actor do blackface. And he was upset and saying that a bunch of mosquitoes were complaining and bothering him to make the change. That's how he referred to the critics, which were mainly black people, as mosquitoes. So I just found that fascinating that you said that.
Wow. Wow. To me, it's just, it's not a surprise. That is the type of racist rhetoric at a conscious level, subconscious level. I think the same way that she's talking about the mosquitoes in this article, and just the whole tone of it, the way that this article is written, I totally think that this is meant to hit the racist brain computer, where it's, whether you consciously, subconsciously, oh, getting a little distortion, consciously, subconsciously, we are talking about black people. That's what this is about. And I think population tailoring, I think Mr. Fox mentioned that earlier in the broadcast. In my view, that is exactly what all of this is. Any and every excuse, opportunity to go after and decrease the population of dark people on the planet. I would encourage folks to do a little bit more research. And I'm sure we'll be bringing this topic up repeatedly over the months this year as it gets closer to the Olympics. Folks have other commentary they want to get in?
Yeah, I think that when white people word things how that author of that essay put it, it's like a dog whistle to white people, because the language that was using, to me, just sounds very white supremacist, and it can be interchangeable with many other things as well. So with black people, we're always never human. So it's very, very, very interesting. But to a lot of black people, that would just go over their heads, you see. But to many white people, something would click.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she even, in this article, she says, "I sound a bit Trumpy." This is before she gets to the last paragraph that I read referencing Donald Trump. To me, that's just making it explicit, because Donald Trump has not been complaining about mosquitoes. I don't believe I've heard him say anything about the Zika virus at all. Maybe I missed it. I haven't seen every report on him or campaign speech that he's given. But I have heard and seen him do a lot of talking about the menace of dark people. I have seen that consistently. That's how he started off his campaign, talking about raping Mexicans. That'd be a Welsing moment too, hopping over the border and coming here to, you know, do bad things and mess up this country for good white folks. That has kind of been the continued rhetoric. And even before he ran for president, Donald Trump was talking about raping black people with the Central Park Five case, even though he was totally wrong that these five non-white males, black males and just non-white males, period, were falsely accused and spent all this time being locked up and everything. And then finally, even when they got their $40 million settlement, within the last year or so, he came out and had, this was before he even declared that he was going to run for president, he came out and had a big to-do. He was so upset, and this is a disgrace, and I can't believe we gave them all this money. just for her to even use that language, Trumpy, in the article. And again, this is a white woman who's writing from the UK, unless I'm mistaken. Again, this is on the Guardian website. So I think white people, they are very informed. They're very deliberate in the way that they go about practicing racism, particularly in the way that they use words to elicit the desired effect amongst other whites about how they're organizing and what they're going to do to strategize to maintain their system of domination over non-white people. But definitely something I would encourage folks to think about process as we continue to move forward. Anybody else have anything more they want to get in on the Zika virus?
Real quick, I see that in El Salvador, the authorities are urging people not to have children for at least 2 years.
Wow.
Wow, that's it. That's the population control. Stop the birth rate. This sounds like AIDS all over, but it's going to be more successful now because you can actually see the after effects of the children. So people will actually say, right, we need to really cut down on having children because we've seen what the children do look like.
I can definitely see that being a big push in Brazil, because that's what they've been saying about, you know, all this fear and, you know, what's going to happen if you're pregnant and you get this disease and microcephaly. I think that's what they call it, the birth defects that can be passed to the child if you get the Zika virus if you're a pregnant female. I could hugely see this taking in Brazil and saying, oh, man, you know, we got too many dark people. We need to do something to stop their reproduction so that we can control population levels here. I can absolutely see it take that effect in that part of the world. Other commentary on the Zika virus? I guess I'll give out the number if folks that are listening in, if you would like to dial in, the number again, 641-715-3640, and the code is 564-943. Pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. Any parts of the world if you'd like to participate.
It is the same pattern, because how long's the AIDS virus been out? It's been out, what would we say, 40 years now? Am I correct?
Roughly, yes, sir.
Yeah, roughly 40 years, but yet we don't know how that started. But we always get the green monkey theory. That's still out there very strong, but now you have this Zika, and yeah, again, no one knows how it started. Very similar.
Ebola.
Same. Ebola, yeah, I forgot about that one.
Absolutely.
It's the black people first, though, and hard, or the non-white people first and hard.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. At least to me, it is noteworthy that this coincided, the Zika outbreak and it being talked about, this coincided roughly with the reports coming out of the UK that they were going to authorize a certain amount of gene manipulation. The BBC, they reported this. They were talking about it a lot. Last month, we played a sound clip on the compensatory call-in. We have folks that are with us in the UK. Did you all hear about this? Do you all think this has ramifications for the system of white supremacy?
Sorry, repeat that last part again.
Yes, sir. In the UK, they reported in the last couple of weeks that they were going to authorize a certain amount of gene manipulation. This coincided with the reported outbreak of the Zika virus. And they were saying that this was just going to be allowed to control birth defects, and this was not going to be anything like the manipulation that they allowed of the genes, that this was not going to be allowed to happen to any fertilized eggs, and they would not allow them to develop into a human so that you would not have any people being born where their genes have been edited. They said that in the BBC report. But just if you all saw these reports and if this has anything to do with the system of white supremacy.
Oh, yes, that makes it sound a bit, give me a bit more clarification now, if they're saying that, because anyone who did have a problem, all it needs now is even a false report of the Zika virus coming to England, and then anyone against the gene manipulation is going to be thinking twice.
Is going to be thinking, going to be thinking twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one I wish we had Dr. Frances Cress Welsing with us still in the physical form to get her thoughts on just those two things coinciding, being reported. Matter of fact, it was on the same World News BBC podcast. They first talked about the gene manipulation, and then they moved to the Zika virus. We were talking about that, what to do about all that, and, you know, how much of a threat is this, and just the whole way we should proceed about it. But before they got to that, it was the gene manipulation, and they made sure to include that, you know, this is not us tinkering around with anybody's DNA or going in to make any sort of designer babies or anything like that. This is just us trying to see if we can, you know, get rid of birth defects, which is linked to Zika virus, seeing if we can do that. And, you know, we're not going to be tinkering around with anybody and then producing anyone who's got these manipulated genes. That's not going to be happening. We're not going to allow that. We have laws against that already in place. I can share the exact podcast if folks want to check that out. But the monumental loss again, would really, really appreciate hearing Dr. Welsing's thought on all of this put together.
Most definitely. So just one more thing. Getting rid of all the mosquitoes, wouldn't that have some type of really dramatic after effect? Like you've got something which nature has created, which then we're going to get rid of.
I suspect that their move is, that is being suggested, because, you know, you can't really do that. But the way they're going to do it is to introduce even more genetically modified mosquitoes. So if this happened because in 2012 they decided to drop these GMO mosquitoes to combat dengue fever, and then the people did the I'm reading something on Natural News about how this might have started. They dropped GMO mosquitoes to combat dengue fever in 2012, but the researchers never accounted for all of the antibiotics that are used in animal husbandry, farming and things like that. So the mosquitoes, when they, you know, get, because they're in the presence of these antibiotics, they don't self-destruct like they're supposed to, and then they have the Zika virus being spread. Me personally, I suspect that I really think that I could see that this being something that's being constructed at a this sounds like some genetic engineering, honestly. To have someone's skull be so deformed, I think it's beyond a virus. I mean, but then again, viruses do change. Viruses can mess with people's genetics. So probably some genetic engineering, put it up in some viruses, put it in some GMO mosquitoes, then they spread it around. And now people say, let's kill mosquitoes. But the way they're going to kill mosquitoes is going to drop even more GMO mosquitoes to compete with regular mosquitoes, just like this lady said in The Guardian, let's kill them all, make them only be male mosquitoes. Sorry for the long convoluted statement, but these cats are off the chain.
Wow, that man, definitely one to process. There was our caller, our retired firefighter in Florida, should be with us as well. I just wanted to add on to that. Dr. Welsing consistently talked about racist white supremacists and them, their total battle against nature and the creator. In my view, that would be in the same vein, and them saying, hey, we have authority, and it would be correct and justified for us to wipe out a species. I'm saying something that the creator placed here, it would be totally correct for us to totally exterminate this species, and we would be better. In fact, this species is our enemy. They have been attacking us and malaria and all this other stuff for centuries, so we would be totally justified. We would be totally just in exterminating all of them. That, to me, sounds like this exact sort of racist thought that Dr. Marimba Ani also, that she talks about in Yorugu, talking about being totally out of balance with nature, at war with nature, nature, at war with the creator, that's just what you get from racist man, racist woman in all its forms, particularly when she has that whole passage we talked about in Yoruba, where she talks about the scientific racist, where they go in that lab to come up with all kinds of concoctions to go after black people, to go after nature, that they do this sort of thing all the time to totally replace the creator. I'm the creator. The God is white supremacy, racist man, racist woman. Retired firefighter in Florida, did you have a comment or question you were going to add, sir? Not able to hear you. Retired firefighter in Florida, did you have a commentary or are you just listening, sir?
Well, not really. I don't, as far as a comment, because I just tuned in, but it sounds like you're talking about this latest so-called disease, which I actually think is the latest weapon, a biological weapon. And that's how I view it from a counter-racist logical standpoint, because it's so much that's unknown about it, and all of a sudden something that comes up out of nowhere, and if white people that practice racism have something to do with it, then it's primarily the biological weapon until proven otherwise to me.
Spoken like Dr. Welsing. I think she would say that exactly. I concur. Unless folks had other comments on this particular subject.
I have one more.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, reading another article on Natural News. It's no coincidence that Bill Gates, a vocal advocate of active human depopulation, is involved in the same kind of genetically engineered mosquitoes now linked to the Zika pandemic. It refers to a group of scientists in 2006 giving a standing ovation for a plan to kill 90% of the human population with airborne Ebola in 2006. Apparently, this researcher, Professor Eric Pianka, was reportedly told his audience that the best way to kill off 90% of the human population would be to spread an airborne version of the Ebola virus. This is happening amongst these scientific researchers because the reason for doing this to the population is because their claim is that humans are destroying the environment. But so we have proof here where mosquitoes are being considered weaponized, a way to weaponize delivery of death. And the suggestion is that what we've seen with the Zika virus is basically a alpha or beta test.
All of those conversations that pop up about population control and there are too many people on the planet and we're destroying the environment and taking all the resources over and everything, all of that should just be thought of, in my view, as coded, refined language of white supremacy, because I do not think that when they're talking about any of these population reduction schemes, they are not talking about reducing the populations of white people. And that should be like painfully obvious to anyone on the planet, that they are not going in. They are getting in vitro fertilization. They're getting all those techniques for white people and giving them more access so that they can do that sort of thing. I think they just had an article where they were talking about making in vitro fertilization available to women who participate in the armed forces. I don't think they're talking about non-white females. I think they're talking about white women so that this, to make it more attractive if they want to serve and come join the killing organization for whites to go out and kill non-white people in an organized, efficient manner. In my view, this is just very coded language about talking about going about reducing populations of non-white people worldwide. But that's my view, particularly all that conversation, as I said, about anything related to population control. There's too many people on the planet. We need to reduce, sizes of people to make sure that we can take care of the planet and not destroy things here.
Can I back you up on that?
Yes, sir.
Because I read another article 3 minutes ago that said that the population, that an Australian white woman reproduces 1.86 children, and that they're concerned about the people from Pakistan that are coming in with reproduction rates of 3.0 and other non-white people of 4 and 5.0. They call them Muslims. That's the coded for non-white. And, all of this discussion about population control, I mean, when you take that against the background that white people in so-called developed countries, typically their population goes down. For example, right. I was looking at the population for Nigeria increasing at a huge rate, and then the population for Russia is actually beginning to like tank out. It's no longer increasing at a large rate. So I have to support you on that.
Absolutely. And I would just keep in mind all of that when they're talking about quote-unquote Boko Haram, which several of our guests have suggested the origins of that directly, they think, tied to racist man, racist woman and their interference on the continent and supporting these types of just crazy, horrendous groups that are doing all or reported to be doing all these horrible things. That area, Nigeria, in addition to oil being a big thing there, I would submit the primary thing is the melanin itself, that is the real primary concern. That report that came out, the UNESCO report that came out, it'll be two summers ago this summer, 2014, right before Michael Brown Jr. was shot and killed, where they said by 2100, Nigeria will have a billion people. That's billion with a B. And they were talking about how by 2100, 40% of the world's population will be on the continent, dark people. And this was not done with, oh, this is great, fantastic, awesome. It was not that at all. It was, oh my, it was the same way that they're talking about these mosquitoes on The Guardian, like, oh my God, like, what are we going to do? All of these dark people, this is horrendous. And, you know, what can we do to manage this problem? That was the way it was talked about. If you want to put it in one word, this is a problem, was the way that this was reported. So I would just keep all of that in mind. I talked about this in 2014 that I thought that was hugely important, probably one of the most significant reports that came out in 2014. But I think whites are very aware of that. And again, Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, White Genetic Annihilation, wish she was here. Her work lives on, though. We have people that are with us in the UK and elsewhere. I did want to get in because I had said one of the things we should be paying attention to is not just the Zika virus, but black mental health overall. And Sarah Reed, black female in the UK, she died under suspicious circumstances, very reminiscent of Sandra Bland, Kimberly Randall King, and many others where this has happened in the U.S. Over the last year or so. Have you all been hearing about this report? Have you all talked about this, the significance of Sarah Reed?
I've only seen just a slight part of it. Was it in 2012 she died?
This happened earlier this year. This happened just within the last 30 days. This was something Lee Jasper, he's been talking about. He's a black male in the UK who's been talking about this issue and trying to get more attention to this problem for a while. I've been in communication with him, hoping that we can get him on the program. They had a report also in The Guardian. They had a report on this as well. I'll see if I can read a passage because it's just really, and it's the same thing worldwide for the people who, you know, followed what happened with Sandra Bland. And we have listeners who definitely paid attention with what happened to Kimberly Randall King, black female in Missouri, who died under similar circumstances, where she had been writing to her mom all along while she was in custody. And saying that she was having problems, saying she had mental health issues and they were not correctly treating her mental health issues. And this passage in particular, where I'll just read the whole thing so that people have the full context, where it reads, what is particularly disturbing about Sarah Reed's case is that her name was already well known to race and mental health campaigners. In 2012, she was at the center of a police brutality case when a Metropolitan Police Constable, James Kitty, was caught on CCTV yanking her by the hair, dragging her across the floor, pressing on her neck and punching her several times in the head. The footage of the assault is very painful to watch. Kitty, the white terrorist, was accused her of shoplifting, was convicted of assault, dismissed from his job, and given 150 hours of community service. It goes on, Reed was allegedly struggling with mental health problems when the assault happened. Her family say she had never fully recovered from the death of her nine-month-old daughter in 2003 after months in the hospital and a distressing battle with illness. But the assault had a profoundly negative impact on Sarah's state of mind and left her frightened of tall Caucasian men, often feeling so vulnerable that she would return home to sleep in her mother's bed for protection. She spent chunks of the intervening years sectioned in hospital and struggled to rebuild her life. And again, she was reportedly died in custody in January of this year, right at the beginning of the year, January 2nd, where they said that she hung herself. At least that's the report that's being given, that she hung herself while she was in custody. She had just seen her mother a few weeks before. And as I said, she had been telling her family all along that she was in distress, that they were not treating her correctly while she was being held. And her mother was trying to get her out of custody, but now she's dead. Is this news to folks, or had folks been hearing anything about this, Sarah Reed?
I did see the footage of the assault by the police officer, and just exactly what you will see in your area of the world. Nothing surprising, because Black mental health in the UK is as much an issue in the UK as it is in the United States. I do know of certain people, even in my family, who have been having mental issues, and the medication, what they're put on as well, what they tell me is that they really do dose them up. They're actually forced to take high levels of medication, which is never good, and they're forced to be on it for a very long period of time. But regarding Sarah Reed, yeah, that's not surprising at all. I think she was in Holloway Prison as well. I actually do know where that prison is. So with notorious female prison. But it's not surprising at all. But I think one of her parents, she might have a white parent as well. Same for Lee Jasper.
Wow. I did not know that about...
The white parent, yeah.
Wow.
Can you see that?
I'm sorry, repeat it, please.
Can you say that again, sir?
I said Lee Jasper has a white parent. I believe his mother is white, and she might be from Oldham. That's Manchester, north of England. And I think looking at the picture of Sarah Reed and seeing her mother is highly melanated, and she is of light skin tone. So,
was it, I'm not sure if it was Mr. Fox or Silent Warrior, where you said you had read about Sarah Reed, you were going to share?
Yes, that she had been, I just read a bit about a case that she had challenged a racist police officer who was subsequently fired, and that then apparently she had lost a child, was mentally ill, was at a mental ill hospital, and someone tried to rape her. She fought that person off. The police were called, but she's the one that gets arrested. Apparently, she was targeted after getting this person fired sometime before. So even though she survives a rape, she gets taken to jail, and apparently she dies lying on the bed. They say that she suffocated while lying on the bed. Next thing I read was that the family tried to get the press to tell them what's going on, and the press tells the family, the Ministry of Justice has instructed us not to say anything. End of statement.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Painfully familiar, I think, for folks, as I said, who followed Kimberly Randall King here in the States, Sandra Bland. There were a number of these cases that have been happening over years now. And I think with that case, they gave conflicting reports to her mother. I think some of the reports, they said that she was found hanging. Some of the other reports said that she was lying in bed with some sort of sophisticated ligature And then, as you just read from the report, we have no comment at all. We have an investigation. I think one of the other reports that I read, they said that they weren't going to have the conclusion from the investigation until sometime later this year. Just standard operating procedure where now you can't get a word. Nobody can tell you what happened. Just she's dead and, you know, moving forward. Oh, well. And the sexual assault that happened prior to that, in my view, should not be underestimated. This is someone who is already a victim of terrorism, being viciously assaulted, documented, undisputed, victim of white terrorism, and dealing with the mental health ramifications, PTSD, from all of that, and then to repeatedly be attacked and incarcerated. And I mean, it's savage. This is the pathology that we're dealing with. And I would submit why we need to really make sure that we do not lose track of black mental health. Dr. Welsing talked about that all the time. Black people not qualifying for black mental health. This is why. When you're subjected to this all the time, I would even submit, you heard in the report where she ended up being fearful of white people. That's what she said. Tall, Caucasian male. She was afraid from the abuse that she had suffered, the terrorism that she had suffered. I submit that seeing that sort of violence meted out to black people all the time worldwide has the same sort of effect on all of us worldwide. Black males, black females, seeing this, you see it happen with impunity over and over again. It totally compromises your mental health, whether you have the type of intense effects that she had or whether it happens on a smaller level. All of us, that's exactly what Dr. Welsing was talking about. All of us end up being hugely impacted by that, probably a lot of times in ways that we're not even consciously aware of. So one of the things I keep saying, really be mindful of our mental health this year. Really be paying attention to how we're feeling. Really be taking time if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling unhappy, overwhelmed, workplace stress, whatever it is, however it's manifested, really take that seriously and take time to nourish, take care of yourself, reach out if you need help. Because I just submit, this is what white supremacy is designed to produce: massive levels of toxicity and black mental dishealth or lack of health for black people. Other folks have commentary they wanted to add?
Yeah, I just completely agree with what you just said there. We just don't understand the levels of dedication and what we're actually dealing with. It's like what you said before. I don't know if it's either Dr. Francis Cress Welsing said it, or it might have been Pam, but we just don't understand who's on the other side of that chessboard. We think it's all over. It's a previous generation. This next generation's all good. We don't have to worry about that. The segregation, slavery, Jim Crow, that's all over. It's brand new days. Well, you couldn't be further from the truth.
Absolutely. I've been trying to see if we can get some of the folks who've been advocating in the UK to come on so we can get more details about the case and what they're trying to do and to bring attention to this. Hopefully we can get that done sometime in the month of February. If not, you know, we'll keep working at it. But Lee Jasper has been retweeting some of our tweets for the program and different things that I post out about racism. I've been talking to him on Twitter about trying to help get folks on the program. He has been helpful. He got me some email information, contact information, and hopefully we can get that done to get more details. But I would encourage folks that are in the States, check out that case just to make sure that we keep this as a global perspective. I was listening to an older recording with Mr. Fuller from years ago where he was saying that, we should never be talking about thinking about racism, white supremacy as just this is United States thing. This is an American problem. This is the whole world is dominated by racism, white supremacy. And I mean, the evidence abounds that that's true. But just you can Google her name, Sarah. If you put in Sarah Reed, because that's kind of a common name. If you put in Sarah Reed, racism. Or Sarah Reed death, either one of those, it should pop up lots of information. And there are newer reports that are coming out. The report that I read some of the details from, that just came out earlier this week. So I would encourage folks to do some research, particularly people that have been following what happened to Sandra Bland, following what happened to Kimberly Randall King and some of the other cases. This is one that you should add just so that you can add a global perspective to this problem of what's happening to black people and these odd black suspicious deaths of black females that they just say, oh, it's a suicide. Let's see. We have about 15 minutes left. I did want to ask if folks have other commentary they want to get in. That's fine, too. But I did want to, you know, at least get a global perspective on how the U.S. presidential election, how that's being reported and talked about in other parts of the world. I'm reading articles where people across the pond where they are referencing Donald Trump. That's become a part of the vernacular and how they discuss things. What are people seeing about how the election is playing out, if that's even being talked about at all in other parts of the world?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Well, here in Canada, well, one of the biggest things, and I just posted something with sort of related to that, the way Canadian white supremacy works, and Canadians are really, really refined, is to make the U.S. like really evil, and Canada presents itself in a very white savior-like way. So Donald Trump is talked about as, oh my God, this is exactly why America is so bad. Even though in Toronto, we had a mayor who was not, in terms of the rhetoric, exactly the same, but in terms of being very entertaining, racist, prejudiced, bigoted in every other way, Rob Ford was very, very similar to Donald Trump in many ways, and we treated him as an anomaly. We're not really talking about Donald Trump as what white people are. We're talking about him as an anomaly, and an American anomaly if you're in Canada. And the other thing that... Oh, I think I lost my train of thought. But yeah, that's how it's being discussed. Oh, some folks are saying if Trump wins, we're going to move to Canada. And it highlights your point that we have to really understand white supremacy as something global. Because coming to Canada, I warn people, no, Toronto is just as racist, more refined, sure, but still white supremacist. That's my thoughts.
Any of the other folks that are in different parts of the globe, are you... I guess, is it being discussed at all?
I look at American news. I used to live in America, so I tend to look at the American news every couple of days. Mm-hmm. And what's the connection between Donald Trump, the O.J. Simpson versus the People TV series that's been promoted? Mm-hmm. You've got the Anita Hill video thing coming out, the movie about her, Anita Hill's allegations against Clarence. You got Bill Cosby, and you've got them trying to prevent Obama from selecting a new Supreme Court. Thank you.
Yes.
Trying to prevent Obama from selecting a new Supreme Court justice. These things are all connected. Yeah, they're all connected.
Connected how? For folks that are listening in who say, hey, you know, Silent Warrior, you're making up stuff. How are they all connected?
Here's how I see it. You really can't win with white supremacy. Okay? You could be the most gifted scientist in the room. You could help improve everybody's life in the room, but white people will not be happy with that. The longer you get, the longer you are good at what you do in a room of white people, the unhappier they eventually get. So even they say they're all about progress, they're not about progress, they're about white supremacy. Progress comes next after that. They're not about reversing the economy. They're about white supremacy, and then reversing the economy comes after that. Now that Obama is on his way out of his term, I mean, I saw this thing on Huffington Post where you have a girl crying, a black girl crying to her mother, saying, because her mother says, Obama's not going to be president next year. And she's crying. She has the same birth date as Obama. And she's like, I'm not ready to see him go yet. There's a lot of people who have like grown up with Obama in the presidency. And I feel like, I suspect that has not just affected just America's consciousness about color, but the whole world. Remember when Obama came out, he was they were pimping him like the president of the world. When he first got elected. And you've got the birth rates, European birth rates around the world are going down. especially in Europe. You have this trumped-up refugee crisis with Syria, where they imported more non-white people. Granted, they bring in the people that have the least amount of melanin they can find. They're bringing them in so that within the next 10, 15 years, they can do the lower-level jobs, and that they can feel better than them and then start to discriminate against them. I see white supremacy system globally going through this kind of jump start where they're, you know, you have this big problem that everybody is going to be more vocal about, the non-white threat. And then, it's like you're training everybody. Remember what we taught you when you started to grow up as a white person. We cannot allow white supremacy to fail. So you have this whole message being sent around the world. And then they go into refinement mode. You know, like the gangsters always say, you know, it's always good in The Godfather. It's always good to have a battle between the families after, you know, every 10, 15 years, because then you bring in fresh blood and, you know, it's good for the business. And I suspect that's what we're seeing in white supremacy, something that's good for the system of white supremacy to bring up these threats, but they're controlling the level of the threat. Bring up these threats. They've got Trump as the vocal point, and then they've got programming on television talking about O.J. Simpson. You know what? Today I watched 2 hours of O.J. himself in an interview about a month after he was found innocent. And this guy, the guy that's speaking on the interview, he's nothing like how this actor is portraying him on these television series. O.J. is like 10 times more articulate than I could have imagined. Obviously, this programming is programming.
Always, always it is. It is always about the messaging of racism, white supremacy. Bob Law always emphasizes that, talking about music, but I think it applies really for all areas of people, activity, and, you know, entertainment, whatever form that it comes, whether it's film, music, whatever it is, that they are not in the entertainment business. They are in the white supremacy, world domination business, and anything that they're doing, that's what it's going to be about. I haven't invested any time in watching the O.J. Simpson trial, but I'm sure it just does not surprise me in terms of the timing of that television program being released during the middle of Black History Month, and what they hope to convey with that program in terms of what they want you to think about Black people, the threat to white women. Again, same thing where we started at, white victimization, white people being killed by Black people and getting away with it. Oh, the disgust of it all, and playing the race card. Even that, because I think Thomas in New York talked about it, that's where that whole term originated, I think, was with the O.J. Simpson trial, the race card, where you're having large numbers of Black people who are talking about being serious and addressing racism, white supremacy as a problem, and have been for a while, to have this come out at this time and saying that, you know, we're tired of you niggers yelling about racism, playing the race card, and white people, they do an outstanding job of that, as we said at the top of the broadcast, of them portraying themselves as the victim of some sort of Negro tyranny. The threat of Negro domination hangs over us like the sword of Damocles. One of my favorite quotes from dead white supremacist Ben Tillman, former governor in South Carolina. Any predictions? I guess it's February, so the election, we still have, about 8 months until 9 months, I guess, until the election. Any predictions from our international listeners about who?
Team Hillary, baby, all the way. That's how we're going, baby. It's going to be.
Got one for the white woman, Hillary Clinton.
Without a doubt, it's been set up like that. I mean, Bernie, it seems like the Democratic side, they've calculated this nicely. They're going to make Hillary work for it, but where are the rest of the other candidates for the Democratic portion? I mean, it's just Bernie and Hillary now when you look on the news. That's all they're polling, just those two. So Bernie, I don't think he's, and then they're saying that once again that the Black vote is going to be instrumental for Hillary. But let me ask you something, sir. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Where's the movie about Bill Clinton and his trial? Where's that movie?
That is a good one. That is a good one.
Lying under the oath as well. Lying under oath.
Where the hell is that movie? That movie isn't around. Anyway, back over on the Republican side with Trump. Again, I think that's a big setup. I mean, this is what I thought 2 months ago. They're setting it up for Hillary to get in. Because if she doesn't have to go through a battle, in politics you want your people to go through. You want the pure person who's elected to go through some fire to prove that they earned. You know, so nobody can say it's been given to her this time. She had to go through Bernie, and then Trump seemed to be so popular. I mean, Trump is just expressing what most white people are feeling after having lived under a black president that has done well and hasn't fucked up.
G-rated.
I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. But then I look at my brother, Ben Carson. I used to volunteer for Dr. Ben in his charity. I didn't know he was such a strong Republican, but do you remember how he was like, he was over Trump in October? And it's really enlightening how, I mean, I've met him, I've studied his books and his work for a long time, and I know he's incredibly smart, but he ain't smart enough about the one thing you need to be smart about, white supremacy. Not smart enough there.
I do remember right at the end of last year where they were talking about Ben. I think they were saying he was polling at number two at the time, and people, at least some people that I thought were had a better analysis, more keen analysis of what was happening, said that it reminded them of Herman Cain back in 2012. And that they thought that this was just racial theater for white people to pretend that, you know, they were going to seriously consider Ben Carson to have a Negro replace the Negro that's currently in the White House. And yeah, it's looking like that is I never thought it was going to happen, but right on. Any other folks with predictions outside the states for who they think is going to replace President Obama? Any other predictions from our listeners outside the states?
Either way, I think black people are still going to be in trouble. But as Simon Warrior said, Hillary's got to show her dedication. They all have to show their dedication and who's going to take over the throne of racism, white supremacy. The thing is, people are discounting Donald Trump, but you've got to bear in mind, what about Ronald Reagan? He got in there, didn't he? So, with Donald Trump, as Silent Warrior says, he's just the voice of the white people sick of PC, because you know that they all hate that, don't they? Political correctness. We want to say what we want to say about people. We don't want to be told what to say. Trump could do it. I could see Trump doing it, to be honest with you.
One thinking possible, Donald Trump. We got one thinking it's going to be Hillary Rodham Clinton. Caller in Canada, any prediction on who you think is going to take this in November?
The Democrats is really, I've been flip-flopping, but I'll say that, like, I first thought Clinton, I've been going through Sanders, but Trump's definitely winning the Republicans. I think that's clear at this point. For Democrats, I'll just try to say the opposite. Say, you know what? Maybe Bernie does win because, you know, white supremacists might like a man being there more than women. Maybe in the South he might win and he's a bit better at it, whereas Hillary, I think, is really relying on the confusion of non-white people, specifically black American voters. So I think Bernie wins, barely. And Trump versus Bernie, I think Trump is going to win. And I think it could actually be good in this way if Trump wins. It's something I'm thinking about, that maybe it will get non-white people, especially black people, to think more alertly about white supremacy. I think that's what would happen. I think, like, I have this idea that maybe we need an actually clear, unrefined white supremacist in office to get us to maybe think more critically and I hope stop thinking about integration and as an answer. That's my thoughts.
Two, thinking that this could be Donald Trump in November, one for Hillary Clinton. I'm still trying to process. I do remember Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. She was quite adamant that she thought, and this was November, December. She said that she thought unequivocally Donald Trump was going to win this in November, December of last year. She was very confident about that. I'm still trying to decide. I have tiers right now in terms of my ranking system. The only thing I could say at this point, I have a hard time believing that Bernie Sanders is going to win. Because a lot of the things that he's saying, I just don't see white people investing in infrastructure in this area of the world. They keep talking about rising numbers of non-white people, and it's going to be increasingly eventually predominantly non-white people in this part of the world. And I just don't think, and white people have written about this, that white people are not going to invest in infrastructure and the things that he's talking about, free college and prison reform and just going on down the line, single-payer healthcare system, that white people are just not going to do those things that would benefit disproportionately non-white people. They are not going to do that sort of thing. So I have a hard time seeing Bernie Sanders winning the whole thing, but I will wait. I'm trying to continue my streak. The last three consecutive years, I've been able to pick who was going to be president very early on. It seemed obvious to me who whites were going to pick to be in that office. So I want to make sure that I preserve my streak and do a little bit more research to be accurate. But I will definitely be paying attention as this all continues to see how it unfolds under the system of white supremacy, regardless who wins. Just to keep that in mind, we still are in a system of white supremacy. I don't expect anybody to do anything great for black people. With that, this is always our short broadcast, 90 minutes. We will be here tomorrow. White man from the UK will be joining us, James Wilvin, I think is how you say his name, James Wilvin. He wrote the book The Zong about a slave ship at the end of the 18th century where whites, they slaughtered half of the black people that were on board and then wanted compensation from the insurance company for the loss of their Negroes. He will be on the program tomorrow. It'll be 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. I guess for folks in the UK, for you all, that would be 6 p.m. GMT, 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Mr. Wilvin will be on the program. Looking forward to hearing his broadcast. He'll be giving a lot of information about Liverpool because that's where a lot of these activities took place, even though the slaughter happened close to Jamaica. But the whites that owned and orchestrated all this were in Liverpool. So it would be great to have him on the program. Pleasure hearing from everyone. Glad you all could join in. Some of the other folks who participated before, they had things happening where they couldn't join us today. Andrew was trying to call in, and I was just having difficulties with my Skype line adding him. But hopefully when we do it next month, he'll be back with us, and we'll have some of the other folks who missed out this time around. For any of the folks listening in, if you have questions, problems, difficulties, just drop me an email, untiljustice@gmail.com, and we'll try and clear it up. If you can't find something in the archives, like when Dick Gregory was on the program, drop me an email, and we'll get you the information. If you have any other questions or concerns, untiljustice@gmail.com, and I'll do my best to clear up any confusion. Thanks again for folks globally taking time out of your Sunday to speak with us. Outstanding to hear from everyone, and we'll look forward to doing it again next month. It'll be March 20th. It's always the third Sunday of the month, so next month that would be March 20th. Same time we'll be here, Global Sunday Talk on Racism, Context of White Supremacy. Again, sobriety would be best under conditions of white terrorism. We want to be lucid, clear thinking. You never know when it's going to be Daniel Holtzclaw, Darren Wilson pulling you over to cause you some problems, maybe even take your life. We want to be able to make the best decisions possible to keep ourselves as safe as we can and anybody that we might be responsible for. With that, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of racism. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with other black people. Our prayers go to the Welsing family, Dr. Frances Cress Welsing's sister, Barbara Cress Lawrence. She passed away this weekend. She had been having health problems that Dr. Welsing had been talking about. She did pass away this weekend, so definitely our thoughts and prayers go to the Cress family, Dr. Welsing's family. Been a very unpleasant year thus far, but we definitely will be thinking, praying for them. Context of White Supremacy signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed.